And good morning. Welcome to another broadcast of Sunshine USA. I am Warren Landis, and I'm your host and Bible teacher here on Sunshine USA. And as usual, it is a great joy for me to welcome you to the broadcast today. We are in the book of Philippians. Last time we talked about Philippians chapter 1, and this time we'll be in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And Paul says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Now here, of course, Paul is stressing the importance of having unity in the church and the importance of everybody being on the same page. Now, of course, in Christ and his church, we can find encouragement. We can find comfort, and we can find compassion. These are all good members, a good reason why we should be members of the local New Testament church. We can encourage each other. We can comfort each other. We don't have to go it alone. We can enjoy fellowship one with the other. And that is what the church should be. Now, unfortunately, in our day, that is not the way the church often is. A lot of times you have men in the church that are jockeying for position. They're trying to get as much power for themselves as they can. They're always insisting that everything be done their way. But that is not a biblical Christ-like attitude for us to have. A biblical Christ-like attitude is one where we want to get along with each other. We want to have fellowship with each other. We want to cooperate with each other. That's the way the church should be. I can tell you some of my closest friends to this day are people I go to church with. They love me. They encourage me. They help me in so many different ways. You know, I'm pretty much confined to a wheelchair. I don't have a car, don't drive. And by the way, a lot of you should be thanking the Lord that I don't drive, because then I might be endangering the lives of other people on the highway. Amen. But I am dependent on other people to give me a ride to church. And fortunately, almost every Sunday, I have no trouble finding a ride to church. Right now, I have one person in particular that gives me a ride to church most of the time, and that's my small group leader at the church. But sometimes when he's not there or he has to be away, he makes arrangements for somebody else to either take me home or pick me up or both or whatever. And I thank God for that. That's a great reason to belong to the local church. Now, our churches, like many other churches in this country, our services are live stream. I suppose it would be a lot easier for me to just stay home and watch our service on live stream on the internet and YouTube. But that would not be the same as being there. And I would like to think, too, that I have something to contribute as well. That I can be an encouragement to people that I go to church with. Amen? Amen. Paul goes on to say, don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. That is verse 3. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourself. But take interest in others too. That's verses 3 and 4. He says, don't be selfish. Be willing to share. Be willing to give to others. If you are selfish, I don't know how you call yourself a Christian. I don't know how you consider yourself to be a godly person. I could never be happy being selfish. There have been times in my life where I have given to others things that I desperately needed for myself. But I thought of someone else as more worthy of that than I was. So I gave it to them. I remember one time I gave a person $750. That was a lot of money then. It would be a lot of money today. Now, of course, one of the reasons I gave it to them, they promised me they would pay me back. Now, bear in mind, this was several years ago. Have they paid me back to this day? No. And the chances are I won't live long enough for that to ever happen. But the thing about it is, I am glad that I gave them that money, even if I never get paid back. Because I cannot stand the thought of being a selfish person. If I see a homeless man on the street, I have a desire to give them something. That may not be much. In fact, I don't have much to give them. But I'll give them what I can if I can. Now, of course, this goes against the grain of what many city leaders are saying. Many city leaders say, what you need to do is to support those organizations that are helping the homeless. And I agree, you should help those organizations. But if I feel led of the Lord to directly financially give to a homeless person, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to disobey the Lord by not doing it. Amen. Now, I know what some people are thinking. Well, Warren, if you give them a dollar, they're just going to take that dollar and buy some booze with it. Well, maybe they will. But that won't be my problem, you see. If I give them whatever the Lord lays on my heart to give them, it's between them and God what they do with it. God doesn't hold me accountable for what they do with it. He holds me accountable to whether or not I give them the dollar. He says, don't try to impress others. Do you realize how easy it is for us to go into debt, trying to buy stuff so we can impress somebody else, or worse still, so we can impress people we don't even know? I know people, for example, they have gone out and bought houses that they cannot afford, that they cannot make the payments on. They can't even afford to put furniture in the house. But they buy the house because they're trying to impress someone else. Or they buy a fancy car that costs them about $500 a month or more. And they're struggling to make those payments. Sometimes they don't make those payments and the car gets foreclosed. But they do it because they're trying to impress others, and they're even trying to impress people that they don't even know. They're trying to live in such a way so that they make themselves look like they have more money than what they really do. He says here, be humble, be thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others also. I can remember, back in my younger days especially, If I heard about a church that was looking for a pastor, I did not hesitate to let that church know that I was perhaps interested in being their next pastor. And I make it a point not to tell other friends of mine that were also looking for churches to pastor because I wanted that opportunity for myself. Nowadays, of course, I'm much more likely, if I find a church that's looking for a pastor, I'm much more likely to suggest a young man who's currently preparing for the ministry and has proven themselves to be faithful in the ministry. For example, I would not necessarily find myself looking for a church to pastor at this point, as much as I would love to do that, because I realize that because of my age and because of my physical limitations, because of being confined to a wheelchair, I probably would not be the kind of pastor they would need. I would rather recommend someone younger, maybe more educated, that might do a better job for them as pastor than I would. You see, that's a biblical attitude for us to have. Paul goes on to say, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave, as was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him a name above all names. Gave him a name above all names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, by the way, that will happen one of these days. You'll either praise God now or you'll praise God later. The problem is, if you wait till later to do it, it's going to be too late and you'll spend eternity in this terrible, awful place that the Bible calls hell. And let me tell you something, folks. Hell is no joke. Hell is real. People splash into hell every single day of our lives. And it should break our hearts as Christians that anybody would die and go to hell. We ought to be willing to do everything we can to keep that from happening. But sometimes, in spite of our best efforts, people die and they go to hell. And I tell you something, folks, death has a way of taking us unexpected. I'm thinking right now about a well-known television preacher. I wasn't going to share this at first, but I think I will, because I think there's somebody that needs to hear this. But there was a well-known TV preacher, Jerry Savelle, who died this past Monday, April 15th. And this past Sunday, April 14th, he preached a really good message in a very large church. Pretty big crowd. And I feel certain that Jerry Savelle had no idea when he preached in church this past Sunday that it would be his last full day on earth, that within 24 hours he would be ushered into the gates of heaven. Death has a way of taking us unexpected. And I'm sure that because of the unexpected nature of this death, it was a tremendous shock to the friends and supporters and family members of this great man of God. I listened to Jerry Savelle preach a number of times on television. I will say, being a Baptist, you would probably understand that I did not agree with everything he taught. But I have no trouble believing that he was a great man of God. And I have no trouble believing that he is in heaven today. I consider him a brother in the Lord. And one of these days, I'll get to do something I didn't do in this life. I'll get to meet him in person. I mean, he had a way of preaching some pretty good sermons. And like I said, while I didn't agree with everything, I did agree with a lot of stuff he preached. Amen. But death has a way of taking us unaware. And because of that, you and I ought to be mindful that we need to take advantage of every opportunity that we have today to share the Lord Jesus Christ with other people. One of these days, even the most wicked person on this earth, one of these days, all unsaved people, they will admit that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The problem is, if they wait till then, it's going to be eternally, everlastingly too late. Paul goes on to say, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you." He said, "You always followed my instructions when I was with you." And that's Paul's way of saying that you are teachable. Now let me ask you this question. Are you teachable? Are you willing to listen to sound biblical teaching and then submit yourself to that teaching and do it to the best of your ability? That's an important thing to take note of. He says, "And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." So he says here, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Now let me say something here. And I believe this is a very important point for me to make. Being in the ministry is hard work. Being in the ministry is hard work. It is not easy. Now I'm afraid that in our world today, in our churches today, we have too many people that are wanting to go into the ministry because they consider it an easy way to make a buck. I've actually heard young men today say, "You know what? I'm going to go in the ministry. I'm going to preach on Sunday. And the rest of the week, I'm going to play golf. The rest of the week, I'm going to go fishing. The rest of the week, I'm going to go shoot basketball." If that's the way you're thinking, do yourself and God a favor. Don't go into ministry. Going in the ministry is extremely hard work. It's a responsibility to be taken very seriously. But I would also advise you not to go too far to the extreme. For example, I know some preachers that never take a day off. I know some preachers today that never go on vacation. And that is a terrible mistake. The pastor of our church, I go to the San Susie Church here in Greenville, South Carolina, and the pastor of our church, Lenny Miller, he is getting ready in May to go on a 4-week sabbatical. And I might add, a very well-deserved 4-week sabbatical. He's a hard-working man. And it's good for any preacher, him or any other preacher, to take valuable time off from time to time. That way you avoid burnout. That way you avoid the temptation to leave the ministry. You know, the sad truth of the matter is, every year, it is shocking how many preachers are leaving the ministry. They're not just resigning from the current church they have. They're leaving the ministry altogether. And a lot of times they're making that decision because of burnout. But one of the ways you avoid burnout is by allowing yourself an adequate amount of time off. Now, by the way, if you're the kind of church that gets upset with your preacher every time he takes a day off, you're doing your pastor and your church a disservice. Pastors need a certain amount of time off throughout the year. Now, that doesn't mean every week, it doesn't mean every day, but they need an adequate amount of time off. Amen. Now, in the case of our church, we have an assistant pastor named Micah. Micah, I might add, has done a great job as assistant pastor, and our pastor knows that while he's away, Micah will do a good job taking care of things. Now, by the way, that might be good advice for you pastors out there. Find yourself someone who you have confidence in to be your assistant pastor, so that you can know that when you're absent, when you're not there, everything is going to be left in good hands. Amen? Amen. But like I say, when you go into the ministry, it is indeed and in fact a tough job. It's not easy. In fact, I would call it one of the toughest jobs out there. Okay, now let's read on. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining light, bright lights, in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and that my work among you was not useless. But I will rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share in your joy. He says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Now, I know, and you probably know too, I'm sure, Christians out there today that complain about everything. They gripe and complain and bellyache about everything. They don't like the way the preacher does this. They don't like the way the preacher does that. They don't like the sermon the preacher preached last Sunday. They don't like a lot of the things that the pastor is doing. I tell you, you don't need church members like that. I tell you what I would do if I was a pastor and I had church members that were complaining outside. I'll say, look, you might want to go to another church. Because if you're not happy with the way things are being done here, you would probably do this church and yourself a favor by leaving. Amen. He says, live like Christ. And he says, one of these days when the rapture takes place, I will be so glad that I poured myself into your lives. It will all be worthwhile. Amen. If the Lord is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he could cheer me up by telling me how you were getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All others care about for themselves. They don't care about what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he has served with me in preaching the good news. And I hope to send him to you just as soon as I can, and just as soon as I find out what's going to happen to me here. And I have confidence in the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. Now, Timothy was a man that Paul had a lot of confidence in. In several places in the New Testament, Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. Now, we know he was not Paul's biological son, but he was Paul's son in the faith. Timothy had proven himself to be faithful unto the Lord. And he proved himself to be very valuable to Paul. Paul knew that he could send Timothy to the church at Philippi, knowing that Timothy would be able to bring a good report back to Paul. And that would be so encouraging to Paul. Now notice he says, I plan to send Timothy just as soon as I know how things are going to turn out for me here. Bearing in mind, Paul was in prison. Paul didn't know from one day to the next sometimes what was going to happen to him. He didn't know from one day to the next what the future held in store for him. There was that part of him that hoped that he would live long enough to do a lot more for God. Paul knew that if he could be able to be granted some more years by the Lord to serve the Lord, that ultimately that would be great. That would be great. But he also knew that probably eventually he was going to be executed for the cause of Christ. Paul probably knew at this point that he did not have a whole lot of time left. All the more reason why Paul was so thankful for Timothy. Timothy was a person who Paul knew that he could count on and depend on. You might say he had almost raised Timothy to be a carbon copy of himself. He had utmost confidence in Timothy. And he was at that point in his life where he realized Timothy had a lot more opportunities ahead of him than he probably had. Amen. And now we're going to be introduced by Paul to someone else. Now this next person that we're being introduced to is someone that you may not be quite as familiar with as you are Timothy. Most of you probably know as much about Timothy as you know about Paul. We could say that Timothy is a household name. but let's read on. Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and a fellow soldier. And he was a messenger to help me in my need. I am sending him because he has a longing to see you, and he is very distressed that you heard he was ill. And certainly he was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me, that he would not have one sorrow upon another after another. So I'm even all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you will be glad to see him, and then you will not be so worried. I will not be so worried about you. Welcome him in the Lord's love and with great joy. And give him the honor that people like him deserve. For he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. Now this guy, Epaphroditus, was a valuable man to Paul. One of the things we know about Paul, he had many people that he worked with over the years. There was Barnabas, there was Silas, there was Mark. We note that there was Epaphroditus and Timothy, just to name a few. So Paul recognized that there was no way he could be a one-man crusader, a one-man team. He knew the importance of teamwork in order to get the job done. In other words, Paul recognized there was enough for him to do in the ministry that there was no way he could do it all himself. He had to enlist the help of others to get the job done. Amen? Amen. Now, Epaphroditus, it might be pointed out, is one of the men that Paul used a great deal. In fact, it was Epaphroditus who probably delivered Paul's letter personally to the church there at Philippi. However, it took a long time for that letter to reach Philippi, because before Epaphroditus could deliver that letter, he got ill. He was very sick. And apparently he had what we would even call today a lengthy illness. And obviously he would have to wait till he got feeling better in order to deliver the letter. So consequently, this letter of Philippians, it might have been among the last of Paul's letters to reach the church it was intended to reach. But nonetheless, Epaphroditus was a good and faithful man. He had proven his loyalty to Paul, and ultimately he had proven his loyalty to Jesus Christ. Now, like I say, Epaphroditus is one of those guys you may not know as much about. You certainly know more about others in the Bible than you know about Epaphroditus. But indeed and in fact, he was a great man of God. A man that Paul learned that he could count on extensively to do his work. So while it's true, Paul was a busy man and he did so much, but it's also true he didn't do it without help. Help that came from loyal, dependable people. And I believe if God has called you to do a great work for him, he will also be leading you to faithful people who will help make your work successful as well. Amen. Now, like I say, Paul, bearing in mind, Paul is writing to the Church of Philippi from prison. Like I say, this is one of Paul's prison epistles. One of the things that Paul had learned in his lifetime is that his happiness, his joy, did not depend on his circumstances. I've known some Christians down through the years. I ask them, why are you so unhappy? Why are you so sad? Why are you so discouraged? And they'll say, oh, preacher, you just don't know my circumstances. Well, no, I don't know your circumstances, but I knew that Paul had a great outlook on life in spite of his circumstances. You can make up your mind that no matter what situation you find yourself in, you are going to rejoice in the Lord. You are going to rejoice in the Lord. You are going to find faithfulness in God. Amen. Now that brings us, of course, to the end of Philippians chapter 2. And that means we have two more chapters to go. There's a grand total of four chapters in the book of Philippians. And there's some great stuff here. And I hope that you will be tuned in for every broadcast as we expound on what God has to say to us through Paul's epistle to the Philippians. And once again, if you have a Bible study question, if you have a prayer request, the best way and most direct way to contact me is by email. My email address is warrenlandis@yahoo.com, and I also have a second email address, warrenlandis@gmail.com. It's all lowercase, very simple, very easy to remember. I also have a snail mail address. My snail mail address is Warren Landis, 80th Ruston Street, that's T-H-R-U-S-T-O-N, 80th Ruston Street, apartment 8510, Greenville, South Carolina, 29605. It's Warren Landis, 80th Ruston Street, apartment 8510, Greenville, South Carolina, 29605. Now, let me assure you, I read every letter, I read every text, I read every email, and I will respond just as quickly as possible. I might add that I'm the only one on staff here at Sunshine USA, so I assure you it will be me that will contact you, because I love you and I care about you very much. So until next time, this is Warren Landis saying goodbye. God bless you, and I will see you next time on Sunshine USA.